The Guardian.
Well, when I spoke to Mr. Khan yesterday, he said that he was forced to make that confession by President Pervez Musharraf's government. He said that he basically didn't mean a word of it. He didn't feel that he had done anything wrong. And he also said that he would not be cooperating with international nuclear weapons investigators about his activities, about the nuclear proliferation scandal that's really been at the centre of concerns about Pakistan's nuclear industry over the last 4 or 5 years.
He's been portrayed in the West as a twisted character, yet many ordinary Pakistanis seem to be on his side, but the elite cannot be seen to be. How do you read this?
That's absolutely right. AQ Khan here in Pakistan is still widely considered as a national hero. There are schools, institutions named after him. His image used to be ubiquitous before he fell from grace in 2004, but he's still fondly regarded by many Pakistanis. They see him as the person who built the nuclear bomb that has helped to ensure their safety with regards to India, which is also a nuclear power, of course. And they see it as a matter of great national pride that despite the odds over the years and despite international efforts to stop Pakistan building the bomb, Dr. Khan was the person who managed to achieve it.
What does he make about reports that say he owns 43 houses, a multitude of bank accounts and a hotel?
That's right. This is really something that's central to the portrayal of AQ Khan in the Western press ever since the scandal broke. The implication has always been that he's someone who was greedy, was motivated by money and had been selling Pakistani nuclear know-how to countries like Libya and North Korea in exchange for cash. Now, yesterday when I spoke to him, he strongly denied this. He said that all of the reports were completely wrong, that he had not become rich, that he hadn't made any money from his activities in the nuclear business. And, you know, he basically just rubbished pretty much everything that's been said on that score so far.
To what extent does he believe that he's become a scapegoat for the elite?
Well, this has always been the theory, if you like, behind AQ Khan's imprisonment. He's been under house arrest here in Islamabad. The idea has been that he has really been a scapegoat for more powerful figures in the military in particular, who would have known about these activities of nuclear proliferation, quite possibly participated in them, and that basically Mr. Khan was taking the rap for them in 2004. Now, this is, for him, still a very sensitive subject. It's something that he really refused to go into. He said that he didn't want to talk about any possible military links with his activities.
What about what the future holds for this man? I mean, he's clearly very intelligent, very powerful, although he's under house arrest, as you say. Does he talk about his future?
He says that he wants to go back to his philanthropic activities, working with educational institutions, really just building on that reputation that he has here in Pakistan and trading on it. Of course, he's quite old now, he's 76, but his first priority right now, of course, is for the house arrest to be lifted. He initially was under very strict or tight restrictions. He wasn't allowed to meet friends, he wasn't allowed to make telephone calls or receive anyone. Now things have loosened slightly, particularly as President Musharraf's powers have been diminishing. There seems to have been greater liberty to Mr. Khan, and that's one of the reasons why we were able to speak to him yesterday. It seems that the government here is gently rehabilitating him, possibly in preparation for returning him to the public stage sometime in the future.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's The Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.